Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Last Full Measure with your hosts, Ted Hayes and Eric Johnson.
Shalom, it's good to have all of you with us today as Ted and I continue our discussion of the Gettysburg Address, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments here on The Last Full Measure. Greetings, Ted. Any thoughts you want to share with us before we, you know, dive right into to Lincoln's address?
Absolutely, sure, Eric. And hello, everybody. Good to be back again. Just want to give a quick shout-out to Jerusalem. Shalom, shalom, and Jerusalem. As some of you, if you've been paying attention or not, and if you haven't paying attention, you may not know the depths of what just happened in world biblical history yesterday. The city that was not for 2,000 years, has become an actual, official, once again, city of the Jewish people worldwide, as well as the capital of the state of Israel, the only Jewish political entity in the world. And, you know, folks, I believe in the coming of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and in the Hebrew scriptures prophesied pretty much of this day, that before the coming of the HaMashiach, that Jerusalem shall be once again under the rule of its people. And thanks to the Gentile king, president, Donald Trump, who would have expected it, made Jerusalem the city where we have put our embassy, the most powerful nation perhaps the world has ever known. And it's a joyous day. It's a sad day for some people, but even for many of the so-called Palestinians and Arab peoples around the world and Muslim peoples around the world, I think that inwardly they know that what has happened yesterday was correct. I think they're going to find in their sensing a quiet resolve of coming salvation. As Yeshua said, salvation is of the Jews. And I think that what's you're going to see soon is a coming together in a real spiritual sense, the Arab peoples and the Jewish peoples and the Muslim peoples around the world of every particular Islamic faith. And I believe they're going to accept Jerusalem, and they're going to say, now remember, I'm telling you this, okay? It's just what I'm sensing from my studies. They're going to say to Israel, we only see one nation solution, and that is Israel. And we would like for the Palestinian peoples in regions of Gaza and the West Bank to be open to anybody of any religion to live with us in peace and prosperity. And we will work out a system of democracy where our clear, obvious, overwhelming numbers would not unfairly overwhelm the number of the Jewish people, the state of Israel. I sense that's coming. And, of course, today is the 70th anniversary of the birth, independence of Israel. And this was also prophesied in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and the so-called minor prophets, even Moses, even Yeshua himself said that this day would come, that Israel would come back, and that like a fig tree puts forth its leaves and fruit in due season. And he says, when you shall see the fruits bear, know that it is near. So, you know, and you compound that with all the terrible things going on in the world politically and naturally, the disasters and the poverty and the homelessness and the sadness and the dissolution of society and the division and and all of that, the Son of Justice is rising, folks. And it's about that time. So I'm sorry, I digress, but I just want to say, Shalom in Jerusalem. Blessed are they that praise for the peace of Jerusalem. And you can be blessed not just in financials and materials and health, but also in wisdom. I'm telling you, things are happening out here in Los Angeles that that Hashem, that God, Heavenly Father, is blessing us amazingly. So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
That's exciting. You know, you and I were talking earlier today. You were telling me that our U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Haley, was quoting scripture at the U.N.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was quoting scripture. She was saying, you know, scripture is being fulfilled. Out of Jerusalem shall come forth the law and the word of God, and the nation shall come. She was quoting Isaiah chapter 2. When you get a chance, go read Isaiah chapter 2, the first 3-4 verses. I mean, you can read the rest of the early chapters if you like, because it really kind of identifies our societies, especially Western society and urban society today. Very interesting stuff. But the first 2-4 verses of Isaiah, chapter 2, talks about the word of God coming out of Jerusalem and his law from Zion.
That's just amazing that she did that, that she would give them the word of God right there. That's exciting.
And I think that she, you know, where the Hebrew scripture says that the Lord said that Abraham, whoever blesses you, I'll bless, whoever curses you, I'll curse. And, you know, her ethnic heritage, nationality is Indian. And I didn't notice until a couple of months ago when Benjamin Netanyahu went to visit India and the prime minister there, the Indian people came out and drove for him. They cheered
him.
They had posters all over the place welcoming Benjamin Netanyahu, praising Israel, thanking God for Israel, saying, Shalom, 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 Israel, Shalom, Jerusalem. Indians, man, Hindus and whatnot.
Wow. Well, folks, it's exciting to watch what's happening because things are happening so fast right now. And
it's like the Trump White House.
Yeah.
Can't hardly keep up with it.
It's great. It's exciting. It's neat to see. All right, so the last full measure, our show is based on what those 740,000 did by giving the last full measure of the Civil War, dealing with the issue of the chattel slaves. And I know we're going to jump in to the Gettysburg Address, but before we do that, there's two quotes from those that were there when President Lincoln had given his address. And the first one was Edward Everett. And I think I mentioned this in one of our first shows. He was the chief speaker at the Gettysburg Cemetery dedication. Clearly admired Lincoln's remarks and wrote to him the next day saying, I should be glad if I could flatter myself that I came as near to the central idea of the occasion in 2 hours as you did in 2 minutes. Wow, here's a guy that spent 2 hours trying to get what Lincoln did in two minutes. And that shows you the wisdom that Abraham had. Abraham Lincoln.
Incredible.
Had. I mean, just incredible. The second one was on June 1st, 1865 by Senator Charles Sumner. I'm not saying Senator Charles Schumer. No. Charles Sumner, 1865. I want to make that very clear here. Okay, a Republican, referred to the most famous speech ever given by President Abraham Lincoln. In his eulogy on the slain president, he called the Gettysburg Address a monumental act. He said Lincoln was mistaken that the world will little note nor long remember what we say here. Rather, the Bostonian remarked, the world noted at once what he said and will never cease to remember it. The battle itself was less important than the speech. I was just like, whoa. I don't think Lincoln himself had a clue just how significant his words of wisdom were. That's why I think it was divine.
I think
those words were divine.
One of the urban myths is that when he stepped off the stage, you know, he was so self-deprecating. He said, damn, that went over like a lead brick.
Yeah, because nobody applauded. They were just quiet.
Oh, boy.
That was the worst thing. He had them so engrossed, like, Perry was awestruck. And they're like, taking it, like, oh, man, this was a bomb. What the heck? You know, yeah, that, poor guy. I mean, that's like, what? So.
But yeah, he what he did there, folks, what he did there, and what we all must do, every single U.S. citizen and would-be citizen, what we must do, I propose you memorize the Gettysburg Address. And as you memorize it, go into each sentence, meditate on it. And I've been doing that, meditating on it, memorizing it. And I'm beginning to see the picture that Abraham Lincoln saw in his head the day he wrote this. Now, you couple this with what he was thinking about the night that he was assassinated on April the 14th, what was on his mind, and some of the other things that he said. And you got to also remember that Abraham Lincoln, while he hated slavery and thought it was wrong even as a young man, he was never really intended on actually going against it as such. In fact, when he spoke out against it and everything, and when he became when he was going to run for president, he said, you know, if I could save the Union by not setting any slaves free, I would do that. And if I could save the Union by setting slaves free, I'd do that. My issue is to save the Union. But over a couple of years after being in the White House and seeing the devastation of so many young boys dying over this matter, he and after winning that victory in Fredericksburg and making that compact with covenant with God, stating, if you give me this victory, I will sign the Emancipation Proclamation, which has been sitting on his desk, I think, it's like a year and a half. He was just waiting for the right time to sign it, to send it off. And
wow.
he was conflicted, but then when the Union troops turned the Federal troops back at Fredericksburg, he called his cabinet together on the 22nd of September. He didn't say to them, I want your advice. He said, this is what I'm going to do. And if you see any typos, fix it. But I'm going to set slaves free in the rebel states. And that was the beginning of the end of slavery in this country. And when you read the Gettysburg Address, you begin to see these things in his mind, and you begin to see the heart of America, of this nation. And I think that's why we are having so much difficulty as Americans today, is because we don't know our heart. And if you don't know your heart, you don't know your head. And if you don't know your head, people will frame you into what they want you to be. And that's why they're having difficulty with Donald Trump, because they cannot pigeonhole him. They've never seen a U.S. president before. This is a real United States president they're starting to look at here. So he's becoming like Abraham Lincoln, in my opinion.
Wow.
And Lincoln had to go through a growth process. He had to go through a growth process, and I'm sure Mr. Trump has got to go through a growth process.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just amazing what we have done as a nation. You don't start out with a perfect nation overnight. It slowly
mm-hmm.
has to build on what it's did. And that's what our founding fathers did, as you were mentioning,
mm-hmm.
is that we were this close to not happening because it was based
yeah.
on the slavery issue.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, you know, okay, we're going to do this in increments, and we're going to get there.
Yeah.
It's
now, folks, over the years, even in high school, when we had discussions on slavery and, you know, black and white people having these, you know, light, low-level discussions, I hear a lot of white people, black and white, say, man, if I was back in the days of slavery, I would've. And I'm saying, you know, you are back in the days of slavery. It's not finished. You now have your opportunity. But you have what our ancestors did not have, white or black, because you have hindsight. You have the mistakes to learn from. We have that chance now to actually participate in the Civil War. What do you mean? Abraham Lincoln said in verse 8, it is rather for us, the living, rather to be here dedicated to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. 9 says, it is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, which of course is the title of our broadcast here. And it says that we highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. We today have responsibility to finish what those boys gave their lives over and for. Now, did not die to end slavery. They died defending their countries. Even some of the northern boys felt they didn't die to end slavery just because of slavery. They were out there fighting with each other, and both sides, North and South, if we don't finish what was on Abraham Lincoln's mind the night that he was assassinated, then them and we lose this thing that he had on his mind, then those boys, those white boys, those white men, and those 38,000 black boys and black men who gave the last full measure of devotion will be dead in vain. The outcome of the Civil War, the outcome of Gettysburg has not yet been decided. It's up to us. That's what he told us. We cannot forget what they did here. We the living must dedicate ourselves to finishing that work. If not, folks, it's on us, man. And that's for real.
So we had,
I don't mean
go ahead.
I don't mean to bring disparity or heaviness to folks, you know, but sometimes when I begin to really meditate and think on this, it just digs deep. Lately, Brian Kilmeade has put out a series on the Civil War, and I sit there and I look at these poor boys, man. They had nothing to do, had nothing to do with slavery. Even the plantation owners of that day had nothing to do with it. Just like today, we have nothing to do with that. We didn't do it. But just like those young boys and those men and women of that era when America was its greatest, they inherited the unfinished business of the founding fathers. And now we have inherited. And if you are a new immigrant in this country, post the Civil War, in the last 30, 40 years, in the last year, if you just swore your dedication and citizenship to America today as a citizen, you owe this responsibility. You are in the house now. And I suggest to you, if this disturbs you, and I hope it does, you study. You go to 740,000.com. You go there. You study. You go to the14th.us. You study. You look up the Gettysburg Address. You study your citizenship. Own it, or somebody else will take it from you.
You know, here in Arizona, there's a requirement for our high school students to pass a civil class on our Constitution.
That's
and
great.
That's, you know, here you look at schools, they aren't really teaching our past.
No.
Our history. Where
they're
did
not we applying
come from?
The Constitution to nothing. Yeah, exactly. The people think that the day that they were born, 1971 or 1985 or 1993, that's when the world began. Sorry, kid. Welcome to the world. It's not your fault, but you're here now.
Let's move to one of the amendments. What's on your heart for today to discuss on other three amendments? What's jumping out at you in your mind at this moment?
You know, to me, folks, and I really encourage you, go to digital1digital4th.us. That's the14th.us. And there's a series of 23 videos there, 5 to 10 minute videos, where I'm explaining all the various pertinent points that I, as a layman, understands the 14th Amendment and its relationship to the Civil Rights Act of 1866. I would encourage you to go there. And I just want to remind you that in the Civil Rights Act of 1866, which got codified and enshrined, embedded into the Constitution by the instrument of the 14th Amendment, in that law, three times, sections 4, section 8, and section 9, three times the President of the United States, regardless of what party that person is affiliated with, is ordered three times, given specific directives about protecting the free chattel slaves, that is part that is a primary part of the free chattel slaves' defense and protection as the President of the United States. In a certain way, and it's not because these folks, it's not because these people are black or from Africa or because they're a minority. These people were granted this, what I would call, super constitutional power by the Republican Congress, not a Democrat Congress, a Republican Congress. That was given to them because they were brought into the country unwillingly as slaves and eventually transformed into chattel slaves, which is living human property. And this was done on behalf of the people who came to America willingly, the immigrant heritage people, and the architects, Republican architects, excuse me, who framed this law, they recognized that these people, should they ever learn to read or write, and if they should ever learn to comprehend what they read, they will not only be able to save themselves from disaster, but also save the Union as well. In a certain sense, over the years, because the socialist element and other anti-American elements have been using the skin color of the chattel slave people, hiding behind the 14th Amendment, they've attacked our country, they've attacked white people in this country, American citizens, who are trying to do the right thing. And now I feel, just like the boys, the black boys who joined the Union Army when Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, and I want y'all to help me with this, please. It's time that we black men and women rise up and don the uniform, as it were, of the Union of the United States of America, and we take our role and start standing up and speaking this truth about Lincoln and the Gettysburg Address and how young white boys and men gave their lives that we may be free in this country. So that's what I'm pushing at the President of the United States for, and I need you to study this law so you can help to get the President's staff to let us in the House on this matter. We want to fight. We want to do our part.
And that's
we must do our part.
That's important. I think it's important for everybody to be doing that. I mean, we had 740,000 died.
Yeah,
740,000 mothers and fathers lost a loved one.
Yes.
When you do the math of the 740,000, and then you include the children, and you include the brothers and the sisters and the mothers and fathers, we've had millions of people that were deeply affected, that they themselves,
yes,
that's part of the last full measure of what they gave, what they lost, their sacrifice.
And then here we are, as
a nation, we've got people right now, as a nation, doing everything they can do to divide us.
Yep. They're turned down statues of Confederate soldiers and generals, and now they're talking about tearing down the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial.
That is just crazy.
Folks, whether you're on the political right or left, whether you are a Democrat or Republican, this is beyond the discussion of America. This is coming from Eastern Europe. This is the philosophy of the communists and the socialists. Can't you see it? They're not trying to help. They're trying to destroy. So someone pointed out, they're attacking Lincoln, black people's number one political hero? And you know
there's
something? The African-American community sits silent.
I saw it came out the other day or two. There's a bill that came out of committee in California that wants to have a May Day celebration and a Labor Day celebration.
Yes.
And they want to replace Lincoln.
George Washington.
Washington. Are you kidding me?
No, they're serious.
Socialism is...
Go on, please.
It's bringing slavery back.
Yes.
That's what socialism is.
Communism is slavery. But the rulers in communism, socialism, they are monarchs. They're dictators for life. And their sons, it's monarchy. And it's a religion. They are worshipped as deity. And that's what they're trying to do in this country.
They have entered our school system, our college
yep.
universities,
yep.
and are dumbing our kids down.
Yep.
And our kids have no clue what true socialism, true communism is.
Nope.
They have no idea what it really is. And here they're screaming for it. We want it. We want it. Do you know what it is? Nope.
Yeah. And I lay this, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, at our feet. Us, U.S. citizens. This is our fault. This is not the socialists' fault. They're doing their job. The snake is going to be the snake. It's going to be the snake. But we are supposed to be the guardians of the republic, like the founding father said. We have given you a republic if you can keep it.
Yeah.
And seeing this is that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. And it is incumbent and imperative upon us who claim ourselves to be U.S. citizens, black or white, to embrace and appreciate our citizenship, and therefore are able to divide, to determine who and define who is a domestic and foreign enemies. We have some really powerful domestic enemies in our country, and we're letting them just run rampant because we, the citizens, do not know who we are. Therefore, we don't know what they are, and they know that.
We are,
and that's why Eric and I have put together this broadcast, folks. We want you to get the word out to everybody. You know our effort is to get us all to appreciate our citizenship by learning to appreciate those boys who gave their lives over this stuff, over this matter.
We are getting down to the last 90 seconds of the show. You and I were chatting a little bit about a particular individual out there who is going against the grain. And
yes.
I don't want to go too deep into it because I want to bring it up the next show.
Sure.
And that is Kanye West. The guy
yes.
is stepping out, and they are crucifying him for speaking
yes.
the truth. And the next
yes.
show, I really want to get into what he's doing and why they're doing that. But, Ted, 30 seconds. Any last words, anything you want to say before we drop off here?
Sure. Do catch that next broadcast. Follow the Kanye West controversy. From what I'm hearing is President Trump wants to organize him some sort of a summit on this issue of race. They're moving in the right direction. Conway's a little, he's not as in-depth as he should be, but that's okay. This is a good move, and next week we're going to, like Eric said, in that next broadcast, we'll delve in more into that. So, yeah, at least one thing about that, it's whether you agree or disagree with Conway West, he's causing the nation to have that discussion we need to have.
Yes, it is. Well, folks, that's our show for today. We want to thank you for listening, and we wanted to give a good shout-out to Jerusalem. Shalom in Jerusalem.
Shalom in Jerusalem.
Well, that concludes tonight's broadcast of The Last Full Measure. Make sure you tune back in next Tuesday night to hear the latest from Eric and Ted as they discuss the issues that face a divided America. Watch my love on.